Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good day. This is Jermaine Edwards, and you're listening to Fellowship of Deliverance Internet Radio. And I just want to tell you guys, thanks for supporting my music over the years. And I just want to continue to support Fellowship of Deliverance Radio because it's touching life all over the world. Now, if you want to get my music, you can download it on any digital platform, the major platforms on the internet, Amazon, iTunes, you name it. My music is all over the internet. And if you want to contact me, you can contact me at 1-876-571-6878, or you can send an email, iworshipp@gmail.com. And that's for booking. And if you want to share testimonies of what my music have done, go ahead and you can call or you can send an email. Thanks for tuning in. Don't change your dial. Continue. Be blessed.
So many roads right there before me. Looks enticing, but I know that's not what God wants for me. Won't go no further unless I know He's leading me. Took 5 steps forward, but lost and stared because of me. I made a decision that my life is gonna be about God. I may not be famous, cause I wanna sing a righteous song. Don't worry about me, my problems owe me money. It's better to please God than having everyone bowing at my feet. So I'm going down on my knee, I'm begging you to help me, cause I am nobody. When you're in my life, I feel free on my knees. I'm begging you to help me, cause I am nobody. When you're in my life, I feel free, I feel free. I feel free. When you're in my life, Lord, I feel free, I feel free, oh yeah. Back in the days, righteousness was thou shalt not, but now in these days we sing and now it's hard to stop. You got your breakthrough, but few days later you're back, because you didn't feed your spirit and flesh was all you got. I made a decision, I gotta lose some of my friends, change my number, that life has come to an end. Can't listen no more to those songs that's fighting against my spirit. I'm walking away and I'm not looking back. Bowing down on my knees, begging you to help me.
Good night, everyone. Tonight, I bring to you Chaplain John Durden, who will be bringing the word to you. So let us just sit back, relax, and feast upon the word of God tonight, okay? John Durden, it's over to you.
You're right. Okay, good. Good evening, everybody. I requested that I teach this session tonight. Reason being, I got so excited the last time around. I was going like a machine gun, and so I won't apologize for going so fast, but I'll slow it down because I love this subject. I never thought I'd be teaching on the demons and how they operate in the country and everything like that. So I got carried away there. So I'm going to slow it down. Before I do, let's go into the Lord in prayer. Father God, I pray that you would anoint me with revelation knowledge and wisdom and understanding. And I pray that the Holy Spirit empowers me to teach your word in simplicity and boldness. And I pray that our minds will become alert and clear and our hearts become receptive to the word. I also pray, Father God, that the Spirit of truth, which is the Holy Spirit, will move in such power that every stronghold of unbelief, discord, and vain thought be pulled down and brought into captivity to the glory of your precious Son, the world's Redeemer, and our Lord and Savior. And I pray, Father God, that your words will bring salvation, healing, and deliverance to all here in your presence this evening. And it's in the name of Jesus of Nazareth I pray. Amen and amen. So I want to say good evening to everyone. And I understand that there's some new listeners there tonight, so listen to me to share about something about myself for a minute. First of all, I turned 80 about 2 months ago, folks. I can't believe I'm an 80-year-old man teaching on the ministry of deliverance because I didn't believe in this stuff until I was about in my 50s. Because all I heard we have was written word, and the other word I always heard was there's no such thing as demons. All demons are in hell. And so it took a long time because God just had to deal with me personally to let me know that demons still exist, and there's some still in operation. There's others who are in hell. So I just wanted to let you know. And then with respect to my degree, I have a master's degree in human resources, which means personnel administration. And as a result of my master's degree in human resources, I taught personnel administration and all this other kind of stuff. But for 30 years, all I did was just hire people for federal positions. And then after I retired for 30 years, when God called me to the ministry, after I finished seminary, I became a hospital chaplain. So I was a chaplain for 20 years and a human resources director for 30 years. I've been retired now for 2 years, for 2 years. So I want to share some of the stuff with you what I've learned in my latter years. Just like a lot of you, all we've been saying was we have is written word. There's no such thing as tongue, interpretation tongue, no gifts of the Holy Spirit, no word of wisdom and discernment, these kinds of things. But I come to teach that some of us have been falsely taught, because demons do exist. So what I want to share with you is, like for an example, the organization of demons and angelic forces, how they organize, what are their rulerships, what are their titles. So to share with you, I'll begin with this. One, principalities, and I'm going to break it down specifically what they are, but I'm just giving you what some of them names are. They are some are principalities, and some are powers. Some are rulers of the darkness. Some are called spiritual hosts of wickedness. Some are called thrones and dominions and principalities and powers. And with respect to their functions, I'll identify me before, and then I go into deep and list some several other demons and what their functions are. Like number one, you have what we have called evil spirits. And they're the one who influence immoral acts. And we all know what immoral means. Evil spirits, they influence immoral acts. And you find that in Luke 7:20. And just for the sake of time, I'm not going to give all the scriptures. The other kind is called, besides evil spirits, some are called unclean spirits. Listen at the word unclean. Unclean spirits, they induce unclean thoughts. Unclean spirits, they induce unclean thoughts. Then we have what's called the spirits of infirmity. And we know infirmity means something wrong with the body, sickness or whatever. So spirits of infirmity, they afflict the body. Then you have what you call deceiving spirits. They produce false doctrines, cults, teachers, and false Christ. I don't need to tell you about that. You have all these different various denominations, you know, from Buddha on up. And so that's what they do. They cause us to believe and cause people to run off into different doctrines and these kinds of things. Some churches don't believe in the Holy Ghost. Some people say there's not a Trinity. Some just want to say there's just God the Father. They don't believe in God the Son. And then they say God the Son doesn't exist and refer to the Holy Spirit as an it. The Holy Spirit is not a person, but they need to read the Bible. And they refer, when they talk about the Holy Spirit, they address the Holy Spirit as He. So again, you have demons who are principalities. You have some who are powers. You have some who are rulers of the darkness. Some are called spiritual hosts of wickedness. And then, like I said, they have different functions. Each one have a different, some of them evil. They influence the moral acts. Some are unclean spirits where they induce unclean thoughts. Some of them have spirit infirmity, cause all kinds of sicknesses and disease upon us. Then you have deceiving spirits. That's when you come with all these false doctrines, all these different religions and everything else. They have cults and they have false teachers in the church, you know, kind of a thing. And even in school, because I can remember when I was in school as a freshman, and they rotate the prayers. And as one of the students in the class, they say, Mr. John, it's your time to say a prayer. So I got up and say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, and the instructor says, hold up, sir. What did you just say? I said, what's the matter? You can't hear? I said that to myself. I said, I'm saying my prayer. He says, would you repeat that, please? And I said, okay. I said, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. And he said, hold up. And let me tell you something, young man. In the school, we do not say Heavenly Father. We say Heavenly Father, Mother. And I said, Lord, I don't believe what I just heard. I said, excuse me, Heavenly who? He said, Heavenly Father, Heavenly Mother. Now, that's the way we preach, and I'm going to let all you other students know about that. You know, it's time for you guys to realize and get to know the Bible. That's why I'm here. So I said, I take an issue with you, sir. I should have kept my mouth shut. You know, he said, what do you mean? I said, you said that it was wrong for me to say. No, I didn't say it's wrong. I just say we don't know if God's Father is male or female, because you know how men are back in those days. Women didn't have any rights. And so how do we know? They could have been prejudiced against women. Just say our father. He could have said our father, or he could have said our mother. I said, I got a problem with that. He says, what do you mean? And I say, sir, Jesus, teach us to pray. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, our Father, which art in heaven. Now, you telling me it could be a mother instead of a father. Are you telling me that Jesus don't know who his father is? He looked at me like I was crazy. I said, he said, huh? I said, they said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. Jesus didn't say, okay, here it is, our Father, Mother, which are in heaven. He says, our Father. You think Jesus don't know a man from, don't know a father from a mother? And he looked at me and told me, let's move on. Everybody shook my hand. I forgot the class, boy, but I got on the teacher's list, man. I mean, on his bad list. I almost didn't make it out of class. Now, I know I should have gotten an A, but he gave me a C because he'd never forgotten. I put him down in front of everybody. But that's the story. I mean, that was my freshman year in seminary. Now, listen at this. Demons like to attack us in all kinds of ways. And I tell you what they do, how they do it. Number one, they can quote scriptures. Just like the one I finally realized, I say, he can quote scriptures. A lot of folks call me, tell me, what you mean that tongues have ceased? Don't you know there's no such thing as tongue? That the Bible says tongue has ceased. Tongue has ceased. And the Lord say, take him to that scripture. I said, okay. And about like 12:15, I said, y'all turn to, First Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Look at verses 9 and 10 and 11. They look at it and they says, what does it say? I said, tongues will cease. And they go, huh? I said, hey, tongue, what? Tongue has ceased. Tongue has ceased. And I said, not really. It says tongue will. I said, y'all get your Bible. And they turn the Bible and say, oh, my Lord. And some King James Version says, tongues will cease, that's present tense. Another Bible says, tongue shall, that's present tense too. I said, sir, it didn't say has. If you look at verse 10, then it says, that which is perfectly come, that's Jesus, then there'll be no need for tongues. And I said, why do you want to pick on tongues? Because you have the word of knowledge, and then you have prophecy. Prophecy, when God tells you to say something and you prophesy over the congregation, might be a word of knowledge, exhortation, these kinds of things. But I said, it doesn't say tongues have ceased, the tongues will cease. And God, you heard them, oh God, how did I miss that? And I said, the next verse says, when that which is perfect, that's when it ceases. I said, and why do you just pick on tongues? I said, you have. It says acknowledge will cease too. Why y'all just want to say, hey, Bob said tongue has ceased. I said, but it says acknowledge will cease as well. Let's move on. I said, okay, I just want to bring that up. The Lord told me to say that. There's no tongue has ceased. I said, tongue will. That's present tense. Okay, so you got demons launch attacks on our interpretation and their plan. What they do is they quote scriptures to us. And sometimes you got to recognize that when you're thinking something, it's not necessarily you all the time, because if you knew your scripture, you say, the mind is the battlefield. That's how the devil attacks. He don't jump in front of us, hey, I want to talk to you for a minute. He speaks to your mind because he's an invisible spiritual being. So just because you're thinking something, that don't necessarily mean it's yours. Like, for an example, you look at that man or that woman, whoever, whatever sex you are, and say, oh, she sure is fine. I sure like to go to bed with her. I like to go to bed with her. No. And then that's not necessarily you. Sometimes that could be a demonic spirit. Demonic spirit have you thinking those things. And how you can tell? Sometimes it's two things talking to you, three things. It could be the Holy Spirit. It could be your flesh. Or it could be the devil. One out of the three. Because the flesh is greedy too. You know, the flesh is horny. So it could either be the Holy Spirit talking to you, it could be God talking to you, or it can be your flesh or world talking to you. So what they do, they come to your mind and they attack you in your mind. You're thinking, I can't stop. Why can't I stop thinking about this? How come I can't stop? That's wrong. Why come? And you'd be thinking and thinking and thinking. And because they know that's one of the things you like to do, and that's they know your weaknesses. So you keep thinking over it, and it'd be cigarettes. I quit smoking a cigarette a long time. I know if I keep on this stuff, I'm going to get lung cancer. And then I remember when I used to smoke, I grabbed a cigarette, light it up, and then I get mad at myself around about 11 o'clock at night. I said, heck with it. I take the whole pack, throw it out of the doggone in the garbage can out in the backyard. And then I say, I don't need a drink either. I take my big bottle of wine and scotch and open it and drop it down in the sink. And I say, Lord have mercy. And the next thing I know, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm getting up. The best way you're going, I said, I got to go get a pack of cigarettes. I told you ain't gonna stop. You know, and that kind of thing. And it was a plan until I finally really admitted. God says, I can't answer your prayer unless you're really sincere about giving up that sin. You said it because you felt kind of guilty, but I know your heart, my son. I know your spirit. You can't deceive me, God. You know, so why should I deliver you when you're not really serious about giving up that sin, whatever it may be? So I said, you know, that's true. And so a couple of days later, I said, all right, Lord, I'm going to do it again. So I grabbed my old cigarettes, took them all out, stripped them apart, threw them in the toilet, you know. And then I didn't have a desire. I said, I'm going to test this. I went and had a sandwich, and I usually like to smoke a cigarette after I eat. Didn't have that desire. And I said, oh, my God, the Lord took it from me. And I said, and then I never had another desire for him. But when you want to give up a sin, you really have to give it up. Otherwise, that flesh and that demonic spirit will hound you to death. You tell me, hey, well, man, I've just got to have this woman. I've got to have this cigarette. I've got to have this weed, whatever it may be. So demons serve different functions. They influence immoral acts. The unclean spirit make you have unclean thoughts. And then spirits of infirmity, like I said, you get all kinds of sickness. You wonder, what is my problem? Sometimes you may have a curse when you don't even know. And I'll discuss that later. But sometimes you have a habit, you just can't stop. You can't stop. And no matter how much you pray, you can't stop. It may be because you have a curse on you. And you can't get any deliverance because you may not even know you got a curse on you. It could be because of what mama and daddy done. You know, mama and daddy don't believe in God. He never took you to church or anything like that. We don't believe in that junk and this kind of thing. And the Bible say, your child will have a curse on him or her for 4 generations. Some sense say 10 generations. So sometimes a kid will go, man, Mr. John, I don't know why I can't keep no job. I get fired, this and that. And Mr. John, I just don't know what's my. And then one guy can't even keep his house. You know, he can lose his house. He can get another house and another house or another apartment. And see, it's just no stabilization. So unfortunately, because he, she and the parents, kinfolks don't know anything about deliverance ministry, they can't figure it out. Say, well, he must be just stupid. He can't stay in the same place. You know, he's just pitiful, kind of a thing, not knowing that the young man or young woman need deliverance. So, and then other parts, demons that have different functions. Demon spirits, sometimes they produce false doctrines, you know, because you know a lot of these churches. And then two, another one common to home, false doctrine. Everybody say ain't no such thing as tongues. I think 90% of the guys I know don't believe in it, you know, until, but you know, I thank God that it never soaked in. I was taught that ever since I've been a teenager at the time I was 40. But I never could, I mean, ain't no such thing. And I'd go across other friends and they'd be speaking in tongues. Man, you ain't doing nothing but just babbling. You watch your mouth, Brother John. Don't you be calling, I'm speaking by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And you talking about you ain't doing nothing but babbling. You insulting the Holy Spirit. The one thing, you know, the Bible said, Jesus said, you can say anything about me, it can be forgiven. You can say anything about the Father, it can be forgiven. But any sin against the Holy Spirit will never, never be forgiven. And on the pastor, and that's, oh my God. So every time I say, hey, man, you know, tongues, see, say, ain't nothing but the devil. And man, my spirit just right. I say, hold up. I don't know you that well, but let me warn you, buddy. I don't care if you know the Bible or not, but let me tell you something. I said, don't you be talking about it's the devil, because the Bible says a sin against the devil will never be forgiven, Bubba. You better read it, okay? If you don't know what you're talking about, keep your mouth shut. Don't say it's the devil. Because you call in the Holy Spirit the devil. And Bubba, you're behind. I don't care how much you cry and everything for the rest of your life. You're going straight to hell. So the God said, Jesus himself said, any sin against the Holy Spirit would never be forgiven. So you have spirits of infirmity. You have deceiving spirits. Like you told me, you know, such things. You hear that all the time. Man, I can get mad when I think about this every time. I could have been speaking in tongues years ago. So then you have false cults, you have false teachers, these are other deceiving spirits. So you got evil spirits, you have unclean spirits, you have spirits of infirmity, you have deceiving spirits who give you false doctrines about no tongues, no this, no that, no healing in the day, no all this God no speak. That's the day we have been word. Now, another little subtitle I talk about. I have demons launch attacks in various ways and carrying out Satan's plan. So they got all kinds of strategies. You know, when you're in the military or whatever, when you're playing ball, football, basketball, you have different strategies so you can get a touchdown, score some points. So the devil have their strategy too. Let me share about eight of them with you. One, demons can quote scriptures. For an example, tongue has ceased, and a person thinks that's his thoughts. See, sometimes you have to recognize when you really get deep in the word, that just because you think of something doesn't necessarily mean it's you. It could be a demonic spirit trying to possess you, or a demonic spirit trying to influence you. That, you know, those were immoral spirits that I was talking about, unclean spirits. So the demons, the tongue has, and that's the main one too. Because that blew my mind. Say tongues, no, this is quote scripture. They have you to quote scripture. And the average minister, if you walk, they say, what do they say about tongues? The first time coming to mind, I say, tongues has. They love to say tongue has and say tongues will. That's fun. Another thing, they teach their own doctrines. So the devil got all kind of mess. Oh, man, ain't nothing wrong in doing this. God love us all. We, after all, he know we human. He died for us, so you don't have. And another one, once saved, always saved. Yeah, tell me about it. Yeah, I can get saved. And then I go back to my old habits, you know, whatever they may be. And then I'm saying, well, they told me once they were saying, so, heck, man, I can go ahead and just, I can do this and do that and do them and do those kinds of things. Well, that's not necessarily true. You got to follow the Lord. You don't want you to love him one minute, I love you, and I give my heart to you. And you go around there doing all those hanky-pankies, whatever they were doing. And you ain't gonna, Jesus, the Holy Spirit ain't going to let you spit on the blood of Jesus. Jesus shed his blood for you. You have to follow him. And if you find out, nobody's perfect. Sometimes you may slide or slip or whatever, but for God's sake, you better get down and say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins, because you don't know if you're going to wake up next morning. You don't know if you get killed on the way to job. Me, how I protect myself, I go when I go to bed at night, because, like I say, even though I know the Bible, but I'm not an expert in it, I may have sin without knowing it, you know. So what I do every night to cover my behind, when I go to bed at night, I say, Lord, please forgive me. I don't say a whole paragraph of prayers. I just say one or two sentences. I say, Lord, if I offended you, I ask that you forgive me of all the sins that I've committed, known and unknown. Known and unknown. I said, that covered my track, because I may have said something, thought about some evil thought, forgot about it or whatever. I say, forgive me for all my sins, known and unknown. I'm covering my butt, because I ain't going to hell with nobody, you know, nobody. And then sometimes, to be real, a nurse when I used to work in the hospital, hi, John, so on. One of the finest nurses in the place. And she said, you know what? You just attract me physically, mentally, and okay. I don't know, what is it about you? And, you know, I'm saying, why don't you come see me sometime? I said, don't you know I'm married? She said, I don't care about that. She said, and then the girl made me mad. I said to her, honey, I ain't going to hell over nobody P-U-S-S-Y. She said, what did you say? I said, you heard me? I said, I ain't going to hell over nobody P-U-S-S-Y. Ain't worse than me spending for eternity in heaven. I happen to be married. And if I was single, I said, I would have to say I'd be happy to be married to you. But when I was single, I was one of the biggest mess you can ever find to God himself told me, because I didn't know. Because I came under a preacher who said that, you just come join the church. And I remember when I joined the church, I said, now you're all the members of God. You're family of God. Come join the church and get active in the business. And then I believed that for about 8 or 9 years. And finally, in prayer, the Lord said to me, son, you ain't saved. You just a church member. Salvation is not joining a church. Salvation accepted me as your personal Lord and Savior. I said, oh, my God. And so I went back home down to Savannah where I'm from, and I talked to my sister who was saved. And she said, what, you mean all that time you thought you were saved? I said, yes. She said, honey, you ain't saved. You just a churchgoer. I said, my Lord. And then I said, well, I went back, and guess what happened? I was sitting in my office, a big-time executive with the federal government, and all of a sudden at 3 o'clock that afternoon, John, don't you know if you die tonight, my son, you're not in the kingdom of heaven? And I go, huh? I couldn't believe that, and it was loud. I got up and told the boss I had to go home because I was sick, so I went home. The wife asked me what happened, and I told her, you know, what happened. And anyway, to make a long story short, because I want to get back into this, the Lord spoke to me 3 times at 3 o'clock each day. One day, 3 o'clock, next day, 3 o'clock, and early that morning, 3 o'clock. And finally, I recognized what 3 meant, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And then a military officer came to my office when I was working. He led me to the Lord and said, John, the Lord told me, you need to be saved. And I said, who are you? You, what, you a religious fanatic or what? He said, no. He said, if you die that night, he told you 3 times, you died, you would not in his kingdom. I said, how do you know that? He said, I told you, Lord. So he led me to the Lord. Now, so the demons launch attacks in various ways. They quote scriptures. They teach their own doctrine about tongues and the gift of healing and miracles. And God want to use all of us. Oh, that's still for us today. You know, and here I am, 80 years old. I wish I'd known what I know now when I was in my 30s, man. I've been one heck of a minister, man. Man, I would have had them people to come in that church and I could pray over them because I had the belief. And then when God wants to speak to them, say, I'm going to speak to them. Say, okay, Lord. Then all of a sudden I go, Shekiri anekita para. So, hola, kate, shikiri anekita piri anako, so kori anekita. But I couldn't speak in tongues, but I didn't believe it because all I was told was we have is written word kind of a thing. But God brought to my attention because the Holy Spirit started working on me. I said, something wrong with that. I don't believe it. So I don't know why I can't believe it. And then, boom, all of a sudden, the Lord touched me and spoke to me 3 times. That's how he got me saved. In the tongues, he had me to meet a friend who I didn't know went to a charismatic church. And he said, John, why don't you come go to church? And he said, that's okay, man. I don't go to my church on Wednesday. I go to yours. Okay. And man, people there speaking tongues, carrying delivering messages. And I said, Lord, have mercy. And then I asked the Lord for it, and he gave it to me. So demons attack our thoughts, our understanding of Scripture. They transform themselves into angels of light, you know. And so you might have a person who you think they're righteous and all stuff. And, you know, you're all right, man. And you talk to him, and he fellowship with you. And before you know it, he done slides you over to being a Jehovah Witness or something like that. Before you know it, you join their church kind of a thing, see. Because angels come as devil come as angels of light. In another way, how demons attack us. They encourage evil men to pervert righteousness. Oh, ain't nothing wrong doing that, you know, kind of thing. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Don't be a religious fanatic. My God, you know, we just human. We have flesh. They encourage evil men to pervert righteousness. They afflict the body. I just can't understand why I'm always getting sick. I didn't can't believe it. Well, either because you have a curse on you or the demon is picking on you. One out of the two. He afflicts the body, causes all kinds of sickness. They tempt with hypocrisy and lying, and sometimes a man may come and say, did you know so-and-so? And he'd be lying, and you believe him. And then you follow their little doctrine and everything. You know, that make a whole lot of sense kind of a thing. Because I remember when they're telling me about tongues and all that stuff. I said, yeah, I'm glad. I'm happy for you, man. God bless you. And I said, poor thing, but do by the devil. Don't even know that tongue has ceased, poor thing. And I'm talking about tongue. tongue has ceased. I'm pronouncing the word wrong. And the Bible says, in the King James Version, the New King James Version, one say tongue has, and the other would say tongue shall. Then say tongues pass, kind of a thing. So the Holy Spirit had to bring that to my attention and say, did I say tongue has ceased? I go, oh my God, you know. All right. They like to tempt you with lying, wrong doctrines. Let's see, what else they do? They can tempt you with pride. Now I hear that every day when I'm here and teaching, and I'll be listening to Brother Young sometime, and they come in and talk about, like tonight. Well, I'm going to listen to you. What kind of degree do you have? I go, well, I have 3 master's degrees, 1 in human resources, because I want to be a personnel specialist, RP for federal jobs. And I said, and the other one is master's in counseling, and I completed my second year. I had met the requirements to have a degree in counseling, Christian counseling, but I said I stayed the whole 3 years and got a master's in theology. Okay, I say, but every time we get ready to teach, it's like I had some earlier before I came on. All right, watch what you say. I'm monitoring to you, Brother John. I have 3 master's degrees, and I did a thesis on how to fight demons. And he don't know that a spirit, something inside me say he's lying. Besides, he don't even really have a doctor's degree. He's lying, you know. I said, Lord have mercy. So demons quote scriptures like has ceased, which will not. They teach us bad doctrine. No such thing as healing nowadays, kind of thing. They transform themselves into angel of light. You think, oh, that person is so righteous. He know that Bible, but not knowing that, he, she taking it out of context. They encourage evil men to pervert righteousness, and you find, he was so good. How did he do that? You know, because we had a couple of pastors here who had 1,200 in the member church and everything, and the guy started turning around liking men, and he started screwing the young boys in the church, taking them on trips with him and all that stuff, talking about giving them scenery sight. And he's screwing the boy and this kind of thing. He lost the church after everybody found out about it. Encourage evil men to pervert righteousness. And then, like now, every time somebody called me and Brother Emmett up all the time because they don't like what we teach sometimes, you know the first thing coming to your mouth? Yeah, you know what, nigga? I'm going to shut your mouth. I said, man, why you want to call me nigga? That's what you are. I said, you must be Caucasian. Yeah, I'm Caucasian. I'm proud of it, all you niggas, and so on, so on, so on, so on, so on. I don't like what you teach. I'm coming down there to ball jack you. So I said, Brother Emmett, what does ball jack? He laughed at me. He said, you don't know what I mean? I said, no. He says, that's me. I'm going to come in there and screw you in your butt. This guy said, you got to be kidding. They said, yeah, and I'm going to bring lipstick and all this other kind of stuff, and I'm gonna pervert you. I'm going to change you into a faggot. I'm taking you back to California, taking you back to Alabama, Tennessee, and use you as my bit, a whore. That's what he said to me. I said, my Lord. So, I mean, you got to mess up. Another one. They tempt with pride, and I have them calling. What kind of degree you got? I said, well, I have 3. I have 1 in math. I have a master in human resources, master in Christian counseling and theology. Well, I'm higher than you. They always say that to me. I'm higher than you because I got 4 doctor's degrees. You know, and this kind of stuff. I said, okay, congratulations, buddy. Yeah. That's pride, temper pride. I got this degree. I got these many degrees. So you got it. God is not impressed with degree. God says, I'm interested in their spirit, their soul. Pride doesn't. Fall come after pride. My God. I say, okay, Lord. They produce counterfeit miracles, signs. And when sometimes the devil may step in, you might lay somebody, handle somebody, tell them, be healed in the name of Jesus, you know. And the person when you come a day and older, Pastor, remember you pray? He's healed. I suggest that you get back with the Holy Spirit and say, that's praise the Lord. And then you go back with back and talk to the Lord. Say, Lord, did you do that? That was a demonic healing kind of a thing, just to present a lie to you. You know, that kind of a thing. All right. That was what I would call about how Satan attacks Christians by false scriptures. They teach false doctrines. They come as an angel of light to fool you like they're so holy. They pervert righteousness. They afflict the body. They can attempt hypocrisy. They do tempt you by hypocrisy, lying your butts off. They tempt and they come with pride And I want to be like him, you know, kind of thing. He makes a whole lot of money, this kind of thing, and this kind of stuff. And then I want to be a little more specific. Break it down to you. There are other kinds. Remember I said there are demons who quote scriptures wrongly, teach wrong doctrine, transform themselves into angels of light, encourage evil men to pervert righteousness, afflict the body, tempt with lying, and these kinds of things. Well, I'm going to go into the specific types. You have what you call demons of principalities. Now, I want you to know that the kingdom of darkness is well equipped and very ready, ready to fight and pitch battle using any and all means at their disposal. Now, you got to remember, you are engaged in a battle with a very organized system, like you're in the Marine Corps or whatever, of protocol and chain of command. You know, now Satan is their commander. And I'm going to give you a description of the kingdom of darkness. And this may be the first time you are learning about elaborately, y'all, they're organized, their kingdom. But like all good generals, it is your benefit to be well aware of the inner workings of these enemies. Now, number one, you have what you call principalities. What is principality? Well, the word principality comes from the Greek word, let's see, what was it? Akome, which literally translated means first in rank and order. That's what you got, principalities. They're first in rank and order. In other words, principality derive their power directly from Satan and are the highest ranking entities in Satan's army. Principalities are the big, big wheels. They are like the generals. And they get the instructions and orders directly from Satan, where all the other demons, they get their orders from the principalities. Now, you got principalities, and then you got powers. You say, what are powers, Brother John? So next, in the chain of command, we find powers. And the Greek word for power speaks of delegated authority. And he said, what do you mean? Say, well, these are dynamic spirits that have jurisdiction over certain areas of the world, wherever they're working at, principality. They can infect, how should I say this? They deal with marriages, society, family, government, education, and church. Like some churches can't make, or they're always in-house bickering and everything going on. That's because that spirit called powers is influencing the members in your church. They can sit there, the demon come in there and start speaking to the one man, telling, I don't like him. He thinks he all that. Deacon might say, I know more than him. I should be the pastor. Who he think he is, I can do that better. I can preach better than him, these kinds of things. And that's what those powers do. They are responsible for what? Blinding the minds of people to truth and for what? Facilitating sin and wickedness and inquiry. And this can just cause mass confusion. And they dig this now with this power, rules and doctrines of the world. They affect the thoughts and the feelings and perceptions of humanity through media. You got crazy music, you got all kind of crazy movies and sports and philosophies and religious ideologies, and they influence us in all those ways. They're called rulers of the darkness of the world. They keep you in the dark. So these spirits are very high-ranking officers, specialized jurisdiction over the 12 cosmological systems of the universe. In other words, they spread it all out. They are responsible, like I said, I want to repeat it one time. They are responsible, some of the rulers of the darkness. They are responsible for blinding the minds. And when I say minds, I'm glad that I think the Lord brought this in my mind right quick. Blind the mind, that's the mind is the battlefield. The devil or demons walk up to, hey, can I talk to you a minute? Hey, man, ain't nothing wrong with adultery, nothing wrong with fornication, ain't nothing wrong with homosexuality. No, they don't come to you. They give you these thoughts. They put you in an atmosphere where other people are misguided. And come, well, he highly educated. He don't know what he's talking about. Oh, I thought that was wrong all that time, kind of thing. So demons mess with your mind. They mess with your mind. They are responsible for what? Blinding the minds of people to truth and for facilitating sin. And they can get you to believe in every kind of thing, kind of a done. Then you have what you call, one was called principality. Those are the big shots. Then you had the one with power. It had extreme power and kind of stuff. And then you have rulers of the dogs of this world. Remember, I said they're the one that can responsible for blinding the minds of people to truth and for facilitating sins and wickedness and iniquity in thoughts and your feelings. Then you have spiritual wickedness in high places. Spiritual wickedness in high places. This type speaks of spirit flying in the air, up in the atmosphere. They can cause you to have depraved thoughts. They can make your mind warp, corrupt. But also, we're talking about the mind being the battlefield. But the mind, which is a type of heavenly place, it influences, seduces, and falsely inspires actions. They inspire wrong perceptions, motivations. They give you false fantasies and imagination. And if you keep on getting these fantasies, these imaginations, appetites, you kind of, I want to do that. I want some of that, because they influence your mind, because they know what you like. And so they always have you to come across something that they think can draw you into sin. And another thing about them, in the words, that these spirits operate in the second heavens, you know, that's up in the sky, just about where the moon and so forth are. That's not the third heaven. Heaven is the third heaven. Where the rock is and all go, that's the second heaven. Then right above us, that's the first heaven. Let's see. I'm going to talk about another one. Yeah. All right. And then y'all used to this one, devils and demons. Now, the other ones were principalities, rulers of the darkness, you know, kind of a thing, spiritual wickedness. Now, then you got the common names like devils and demons. Now, a demon or devil is a supernatural spirit, possesses the nature of Satan, and has the ability to give and distribute fortunes to the unrighteous. They can possess a man, they control the mind, and they said, I don't know why I can't stop thinking about that woman. I don't know why I can't stop thinking about that man. I'm always jealous of that guy, you know. I don't know why I can't stop thinking about beating this behind. I remember when he did this to me and so forth kind of thing. Well, that's not you. That's demonic. A demon, devils and demons, is a supernatural spirit that possesses the nature of Satan. The nature of Satan. You know, Satan is an evil sucker. And has the ability to give and distribute fortunes. They can possess a man if you open the door. And they control your mind, sense, and activity. That's why I always said, you know, I've learned all this when I got in my 60s. I didn't know nothing about the devil can attack your mind. I thought everything I thought of was just me. You know, if I see a fine woman, I say, wow, she's fine. Not knowing, you know, that I'm being pulled in by the devil. Because he knows fornication, adultery, though, is straight to hell, you know, and pull over me, you know, being dumb and all that. And I go, well, God, no, he's just human. That lousy excuse kind of crap, you know. So, devils and demons, they possess a man. They can control our mindsets and actions. So remember, what you're thinking, you better monitor. You need to monitor your own thoughts, not how other people behave. But when them thoughts come into your head and you know it's not in harmony with the word of God, then you got to say one thing. It's either my greedy, lustful flesh or it's the devil. Devils can be worshipped. They can make people sick. They can communicate with people, and they communicate with people by thoughts. You know, you start thinking of stuff, you know, hey, man, look at her. You go, and you think that's yourself. Man, look at her. I look at him. I say, man, that guy making a whole lot of money, you know, kind of a thing. I think I'm going to hustle on the side, you know. Or I'm going to steal a little money out the office. Like, the other day, we found out the Lord had to tell Brother Emmett, and Emmett told me, says, this minister has stole $60,000 from the church in the Pope Pastor Norgos. He got about like 16,000 numbers. And Oven had 1,600. Oven had 1,400,000. And he was stealing several hundred dollars out of the kitty every Sunday in the Pastor Norgos because he was accountant to the church. Pastor just took his word for it. And just to let y'all know, then there was time where some guy called me, hey, I don't like the way you teach. I said, well, I'm sorry. You don't have to listen to me. Anybody spraying you on anything? Nah, you're always talking about Holy Spirit, and you're talking about healing. Ain't no Holy Spirit, you know, and all that stuff. And so God said, tell him this. I said, sir, the Lord heard you. Yeah, right. Uh-huh. What did he say? I said, okay. He said, you in hotel so-and-so-and-so, the name of the hotel is so-and-so-and-so, the address of the hotel is so-and-so-and-so, and you have a faggot right now. he lay in your lap and you insert your finger in and out of his behind. Who told you that? You witchcraft? I said, no, sir, the Lord. I don't know witchcraft will run send you straight to hell. And then that's how God helped me and Brother Emmett out. They'll call us up, cuss us out, tell them we don't like the way we teach, and they don't shut up, you'll come down there and ball jack it all. And that's what they all. Anybody said you'll come in there and beat the hell out of you, or we'll come in there and shoot you, kill you. They all say the same thing. We'll ball jack you. And I go, Emmett, what in the heck going on, man? These guys are threatening us because they don't like what we teach, and they tell me they're going to ball jack us. Are you sure ball jack is what you said it was? Yep, they're talking about they're going to cheek it, and they're going to hold you down. They're coming to you, Winnebagoes, and they're going to hold you down, and they're going to pick you, and they're going to run a train on your butt and make you a faggot. And then, and I said, Lord have mercy. And some call and say, look at him. Nigga, let me tell you something. I'm coming. And you go to the store and buy yourself some lipstick and a dress and some high heel shoes and some stockings because I don't want you to look good for me, baby, when I get down there. I say, you bring your butt down here, man. You're going to cause me to go to hell because I'll slit your throat. Oh, you don't scare me, no, because everybody know y'all niggas ain't nothing. We hear that every other day. So help me. I swear, folks, and the Bible says, I'm supposed to swear. But we get them dressed like that every other day. They come coming down here and by the drove. Every other, once a week or something, you get one coming down. And the Lord have to tell Brother Emmett, the fellow who was threatening you and Brother John, they're just 1 hour from you. Wake up and get going. And then he wake up, then he call his buddy. And his buddy, the gangster of Atlanta, the head gangster, and he would come over to his house and have 12 or 14 guys with him. And when they come over there, and when they come on out of the house, we see you, come on out. And then all of a sudden, he turned the light on, and they see all them Negroes with them guns, automatic guns. Man, they run out and jump in them Winnebagoes and go back home. But so help me, that happened about like once a week or something like that. It always happens. And the first thing they always say, we're coming down to the ball jack you. And that's all they say. Not we're going to come beat your butt, kill you, or we're going to hang you, or whatever. I'm going to ball jack you. And ball jack me, I'm going to come down and screw you like you're a woman in your butt. That's pitiful. All right. They're devils and demons. They just got through saying they possess man, they control mindsets. So watch what you're thinking. Just because you're thinking it don't necessarily mean it's yours, okay? Devils can't be worshipped. They make people sick. They communicate with you without you knowing and involve themselves in a whole bunch of diabolical activities. That was the devils and demons. Now, they this other kind of spirit. It's called the spirits of the underworld. You know, I haven't been keeping up with time. I don't even know if I'm running out of time or what. No, I still got good time. Spirits of the underworld. Now, these spirits work with high witchcraft operations. As mentioned, they can do these things. They have six regions. They deal with death. They deal with hell. They deal with the grave, the pit, the abyss, and the regions of the sea. Hell, Sheol, Hades, that's hell. And then they say the grave, well, that's where they are. The pit, down in hell. The abyss, and so forth. Then you got, I've never heard this one. Now, this may sound silly to y'all, but this one is called, this kind of demon is called spirit birds. So it says, when I studied this thing and God showed me this thing, he said, remember, hey, John, remember when Noah went out the door, who returned with an olive branch, when God used a bird to bring food to Elijah the prophet? Mm-hmm. Well, Satan also has spirit birds at his disposal, only they are unclean and hateful spirits. And I remember, I know this is going to sound funny, y'all, but I'm not lying. I remember when me and Emmett was talking, and we looked out the window, and it was about like 30, 40 some odd pigeons in his backyard. Just flying, and come to the window, and kind of thing like that. And he said, what in the world? Where all them black birds come from? And then in his spirit, he picked up a message from God that says, they are demons. They're disguised as birds and witches and warlocks. They can change and form with the help of the devil, because he sold out themselves to the devil. To my Lord. And then it says, this is in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Go. And when he did that, man, all them birds, all of them came up. So they had the whole lawn covered. And when he said, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, go. And they were they scattered on out of there. I said, I never believe it. I think y'all the first people I told that to, because I ain't never told that, because I don't want to take time going crazy. But sometimes you can know some things in the Bible that nobody else know, and then they think you done flipped out and lost your mind. But my right hand to God Almighty, that's what happened to those blackbirds and the Lord, and told us that those are blackbirds, those are demonic spirits, transform themselves. And then here's the one that you really got to look out for. It's called familiar spirits. Familiar spirits. Familiar spirits. We can encounter familiar spirits who work for Satan. Now, you know the word familiar. I'm familiar with him. I'm familiar with her. She taught me when I was in third grade. I'm familiar with me, so this kind of thing. So we can also, y'all, encounter familiar spirits who work for Satan. And they are like, now you got to be in the military to understand this word. They are like reconnaissance team. They go and check out and see if they can attack you or not. It would be to their help if they did or didn't, you know, kind of thing. If they can be the victor or loser, one out of two. So they're checking you out. Now, familiar spirits, their job, listen at this, y'all. Their job is to spy and take reports back to headquarters. And so familiar, when it's back to headquarters, they're going back to Satan and say, hey, we got this guy covered. We know what his weaknesses are. Because, man, you know, these are familiar spirits. If you don't remember any of the other spirits, you remember familiar spirits. Familiar, you know, familiar, man, I know everything he likes. I know everything he loves and hates. I make him angry, make him cuss like hell and everything else, make him lose his little relationship with the Lord, because he don't end up there wishing he can kill somebody or wish he can screw that person or whatever, and not knowing that that familiar spirit do anything, because they know what you like and know what you hate. Let me finish telling you about the familiar spirit. Say, we can encounter familiar spirits who work for Satan. They are like reconnaissance team, like I said. Their job is to spy and take reports back. Take reports back, y'all, to Satan. And you know what else about them? Familiar spirits are demonic agents whose main assignments are to become well acquainted with a person or groups of people. So if they know what your weaknesses are, then you'll always be tempted by that weakness. Until you probably just have to say, you know what? I don't know why I can't stop thinking about that woman. I don't know why I got to keep on stealing money out the offering plate. I don't know why I keep doing the shoplifting. I don't know why I use drugs and numbers don't know. I don't know why I'm screwing this young man and stuff like that. And so I don't know why I'm still screwing the choir director. Because most of them I knew, boy, when I was growing up, most of all your choir directors were queers. I don't know about it now. I know somehow, because every time the Lord tell us about something, he's screwing the choir directions. Oh, Lord. And brother, him say, Brother John, tell him to shut up. Then he don't believe us. He don't like the way we teach. And he's going to come down here and beat us up. So I say, hey, man, what? I'm coming. I don't like the way you teach. And you ain't real. You know, you need to be Christian doctors like us. And I go, you got a doctorate degree, and you screwing blah, 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 the assistant pastor's son. Huh? What'd you say? And I say, yeah, you screw him at such and such hotel on such and such street, and the boy there on such and such street, and you go around there every Wednesday night, you tell your wife that you got to go to staff meeting. The guy hang up. They always hang up. So that's how God helped Brother Emma and I. They come, and they threaten us and say, I'm coming to ball jack you. Who you think you are? So and so and so. I like the way you teach. You little hypocrite. Ain't no such thing as this. Ain't no such thing as that. You need to be like me. You need to be walking with God. You know, this kind of thing. I said, man, you ain't right. You hypocrite. What you mean? And then Brother Emmett said, Brother John, you cut the guy off. I said, yeah. The Lord just told me. He said, tell him that he's in the bed right now with a queer laying in his lap, and he's screwing the queer with his finger. I go, are you serious? He said, go back. And sir, yeah, I'm going to do this to you. You do that. Y'all know what she does. You know what? You keep on messing with me, I'm going to send Big Dog. Who's Big Dog? I said, oh, he did one of the biggest gangster here in Atlanta. And I can point him. I can point you out to him. He comes in and beat your ass for threatening me. What you mean? You don't know what I say. And then him say, John DeLosa, he live at 165 such and such street. And such, I say, oh, man, you live at such street. And too complex. The house is colored green, and you on such and such street, and house number so and so and so. Click. It happens every time because they threaten us. So we coming to kick your butt so and so and so and so and so and so. Like that, you know. I said, man, we just teaching the word of God. I don't like what you teach, so I'm coming down there, and I'm a ball. They all say that same thing. So and Emmett would be listening to him and say, John, yeah, the Lord say, he lived on such a street. He did this and that. He stole $70,000 out there. $70,000. How we got church that? He said, the man got about like 20,000 numbers. Yeah. And I said, you know what? I'm going to tell the pastor, you stealing money. What you talking about? Yeah, you stole 69. The Lord said, if you don't pay that money back, get that money back by tomorrow, you're going to be dead within an hour. You hang up the phone. So that's what happened. God still talk. That's how God worked with Brother Emmett. God would tell, because me, I'm the lazy one. Brother Emmett got to know the Lord when he was, he hadn't went to college or nothing. He just went to high school. But he loved the Lord. He got saved when he was got out the military. And he sold out to the Lord. That boy read that Bible 8, 9, 10 hours every day. Every time I called him, I read the Bible, John. So God said, I see your heart. So God talked to him all the time. Sometimes I say, all right, if you can hear so God, I'm going to think of a number. Tell me what it is. You tell me what it is. I say, I'm thinking about a person I really cherish. You think about so-and-so. What's my social security number? So-and-so. And that's how we work as a team. And God is teaching me because, hey, I'm a late groomer. You know, here I just turned 80. And so what happens? We always get these threats from these ministers who don't like the way we teach. So they talk, they threaten us. They always threaten them. I don't like teaching you. I'm coming down there. And the last thing they say, what you going to do to me, man? I can teach what God with me. I'm coming down there. And always, they all, what, if 100 people call me, 100 people would threaten me with ball jacket. I said, man, you ain't nothing but a queer. You ain't nothing but a sissy. And you call yourself a man, you a disgrace. You know, I would like the way you talk. I'm coming down here and ball check. I said, uh-huh. I said that. You know why? Why? Because I want to see, I'm feeling you out. You said you would come down here and ball jack me when I ripped that really, really mean. I said, you're gonna bust my butt. You know? Yeah. You know, I said, then Lord said, tell John, blah, blah, blah. I said, man, you can't preach to me. You talking about you so righteous and holy. You in hotels, on such and such a street, and you screwing a queer. You got two of them there in the room with you now. All right, let me move on. All right, how demons, you go, I think I got most of them. Yeah, I got spirit birds, spirit horses, and familiar spirits and stuff like that. And then how? You say, well, how did he get to do that to us, Brother John? How demons gain control? I mean, I do the best I can. I go to church and I pray and everything else. I just don't understand. Okay, so, well, I was, you know, God taught Brother Emmett deliverance ministry because he saw his heart and said, I'm going to teach you deliverance. And you know, I didn't believe in that to Emmett, because me and Emmett was pretty tight, because when Emmett tried to commit suicide, I was hospital chaplain at the time, and he called the hospital, I want to speak to a pastor or something. And I answered the phone. I want you to pray for me. About what, sir? I'm trying to kill myself and I just can't be successful. I said, you trying to do what? I'm trying to kill myself. I just can't do it. I said, what you mean? Well, I took my gun because, you know, I'm an ex-Navy SEAL. Oh, you one of them bad dudes. I mean, you better than the Marines. He said, yes, sir. He says, I tried to kill myself, but it ain't working. I said, what do you do? He says, well, after I got out of being a Navy SEAL, I tried to get a job. You know, nobody would hire me. I tried to get a job with the police department all over the city and everything else, but nobody hired me. They tell me I'm too rough and too bad because every time they give me an example, suppose this happened, what would you do to settle this problem? I said, what'd you tell? He said, for example, I don't know why they won't tell me this. I said, what happened? He says, well, suppose a woman called the police department and asked for help, and you come there, and the husband's jacking her up and everything else, and then she see you coming, and she said, we don't need you now. We all right. And I said, man, I got to talk to you. And I got to talk to him. He said, my wife says everything's all right, dude. And then she come there and tell me, look at you, if you leave, I'll slap your hell back to hell or wherever you came from. And he said, what would you do for Lee to talk to you like that? What would you do for a man to talk to you like that? He said, I'll kill him. No matter what the example or the illustration would be, Brother Emma would say, I'll kill him. That was that Navy SEAL background, because nobody hired him. Well, he went to several different counties. And they all didn't want to hire him because every time I say, what would you do in this situation? I'll kill him. So they say, we don't want to fool, he get us sued. So he became a gangster. And he went up to being about the second top gangster here in Atlanta, Georgia. And if you just look at it wrong, he'll shoot you in a minute. That's how he was. He bad dude. But he finally got his attention. And when he cried, he called the counselor line. He, and I'm the one that answered the phone. And God told me to say exactly what to say to him. He accepted the Lord. Then he came to the hospital, ex-gangster, and he sat there with me for about 2-3 months. And God said, you're going to never get no work done. He's really searching. Go take him to the store and buy him a Bible. I bought him a Bible. That boy come back, and I gave him my chaplain assistant office because I didn't have a chaplain assistant at the time of vacant. I gave the thing to him. And he sat there and read that Bible from 9 in the morning to 5 o'clock that afternoon. He did that for about 6-7 months straight. Then finally, he started screaming, and then he ran and said, what happened? I said, the Lord said his name is Jesus Christ, and he called me into the ministry, and he wants me to be his deliverance ministry. Okay, but that's just like that's how he got saved, because I don't want to deviate too much. I just want to share how he got to be with him. And God taught him deliverance ministry. And God said, now I'm going to take you to hell and show you there's a real place called hell. And he told me about that the next morning when he came to work. What happened? The Lord came into the bedroom and said, come. And he said, well, you know it. He woke up, and his spirit was standing up looking back at the bed. He sees his body laying in the bed. He said, oh, my God. He said, that's your spirit. That's your body. It's like a house. Come with me. Come. And he probably took him down to hell, and he showed him what hell looked like, and you got departments in hell. Like, you got, like, in a city, you might have east, west, south, north. Well, they got a cell, an area they call the Halls of Theology. And to make a long story short, the Halls of Theology is a place where when a minister, a chaplain, a Christian singer, a Christian teacher do something with dealing with the Word of God, and they hanky-panky and doing all kind of crap behind other people like God can't see, when they die, that's where they go. And he took them through the Halls of Theology, had about thousands of cages. And one said, died in 202, died in 1314, died in 1515, died in 1892, died in 1692, 19-something, 19-this, 1942, 1950, just like had all, and ended up, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, kind of a thing. And the Lord said, sorry, but, you know, salvation's not on this side after death. All right, so that thing is real. Now, what I want to say is, oh, yeah. I think, what time is it? Okay, I got about 15 more minutes. How demons gain control. Well, demons gain control in several ways. Number one, they gain control through generations. That means demons may oppress or possess a person because of previous possessions or oppressions of the parents. In other words, I know some kids who never been to church, my mom and dad never went to church and everything, but they can't never figure out what's up, why they always sick, or why they can't keep a job, or why mom and daddy always moving from one apartment to another apartment to another apartment, everything else, because they have a curse on them and they don't even know it because they don't believe in God. Or they go and sit up there in church and hanky-panky and screw the pastor's wife or the pastor screwing their wife and all kind of crap, you know. And so they have a curse on them. They have a curse on them through generations. So a kid may not, I guess to shorten it, I just say, if I do something wrong, because I told my son that boy, he said, Daddy, thanks for telling me that. I said, don't you know, if I screw up and go and hanky-panky with some woman behind your mama's back and screw her and do all kinds of stuff, I said, you know what? I'll put a curse on you guys. What do you mean, Daddy? My son and my daughter say, we're not in the Bible. So I show him, and he said, oh, my Lord, Daddy, something messed up. I'm coming at you. I'm going to come at you with the switch. You know, that kind of thing. We just laugh about it. But the Bible says when you mess up and turn your back on the Lord, then you put a curse on your children for 10 generations. So I say, you know. And then some people, I got to know personally, they say, no wonder the boy always in trouble, in and out of the police, you know, talking about friends I know, you know, kind of a thing. And then one boy coming in, hi, Daddy. And say, what the? I just want you to know what I really am. I feel like a girl, you know, kind of a thing. And the guy come to me crying and told me, John, my son just told me he's a faggot. I says, be frank with me. You turn your back around. You just be talking religious stuff because you know, I'm a chaplain kind of thing. Yeah, man, I've been doing this, man. I did this. And I ain't hardly believe in that stuff. I just say things to make you happy, you know, because I like you for a friend. I say, you're putting a curse on your son. It can be from 4 to 10 generations, buddy. I suggest you repent, okay? You repent. And the guy, really? I said, try me. And he did. And what happened a couple of months later, the boy was just a straight upright and everything. I told my daddy, guess what? I went to church, you know, to this to this other church. I didn't go to my church because I wasn't bad. No, and told the pastor I want to get right with God, and he led me to the Lord. I say, praise the Lord. So, demons can gain control through generations. That's when mom and dad's screwing around, pretending like they're so holding everything else, but God knew what they're doing in the Bible. Say, you can bring a curse on your children. Why is my child so dumb? Why am I always making these F's and D's? Why is my child always sick? Why can't I keep a job? How come I'm always getting kicked out? It's because it's a generation, because maybe your mama and daddy did something, and maybe not just a mom and daddy. There was one case where the married, and the mother was worshiping the devil, and the husband didn't even know. And everybody's catching hell until finally they call one minister who was in deliverance. Well, let me go to your house and talk to you. And then somebody said, go downstairs. He says, ma'am, can I go downstairs? Went down and found out the daughter, who's possessed with the devil, had this symbol of the devil, the devil sign down there in the basement. So you can put a curse. So that's number one. How demons gain control? Through generations. If you acting crazy and you screwing behind your wife, or you screwing this and that, trying to pretend like you must be big old daddy and all kind of thing, you're going to bring a curse on your children. Now, if you got problems, you're always sick all the time, and nothing, you're always getting an automobile wreck or whatever, guess what? It could be your mama or your daddy doing it. Then what you got to do is say, Lord, I don't know what mama did or what daddy did, but I ask that you forgive them because they're dead now, or they just don't know. And I just want to pray for them. And Lord, I ask that, I'm sorry, and I don't want this curse on me. And Lord, we're taking off that person because the person realized that they're getting this trouble because of what their parents or parent did. And then, but they got to know it's a curse. That's a curse. They not can't find a job because they're dumb and stupid, and they keep getting fired and all this stuff because they're stupid, because they got a curse on them, don't even know it. So that's through generation. When somebody in the family's screwing up, and God say, "I'll curse your family for 10 generations." You better believe it. I said, man, when I find that thing, man, I quit my smoking, quit my drinking. Man, I got straight. And then I got saved, you know, when I heard about that. And shoot, and the Lord blessed me because my Lord, you know, Lord have mercy. I don't want to go off straight. But right quick, is God told me, he said, John, I'm honoring your dedication to me. Call John and Bernadette in the room. So I said, John, Bern, and they came. And I said, God told me, he loves you guys, and he wants y'all to be saved. Y'all nice. Y'all going to church and everything else, but y'all don't have salvation. Y'all just got in church. And make a long story short, they both accepted the Lord right there. One was 5 and one was 7. Yeah, 5 and 7. That's all they were. And that the story particularly, but I got to finish this thing out. But they followed me in the sinner's prayer. And guess what? They both made all these to God says, I want them, they're mine. I'm just loaning to you. I have a purpose and a plan for their life, and according to Jeremiah 29:11. I say, okay, Lord. And God, he said, now you teach them. Don't leave it up to preacher. You teach them. And I had Bible study in my house, you know, little prayer breakfast. But when they come home, we set aside, and I spend about maybe 15 to 20 minutes with them doing a Bible study, maybe on the Ten Commandments, on the Bible character, you know, like Moses and Elijah. I tell them who these guys are and everything else. And they grew up knowing, and they knew and memorized the books of the Bible backwards and forward. And they went off to school, and next thing you know, they graduated with honors. One went to Georgia Tech, another went to the University of Florida. And my daughter, you know, she's an executive with one of the major paper journals here in Atlanta. And my son, he's the number one guru for the big old computer company here in Atlanta. And each one of them making over $100,000 a year. And now they're 43 years old. But they walk with the Lord. I led my children to the Lord when they were 5 and 7. Okay. Through generations, that means you can get problems, or your children get problems because your parents were sinning, but you didn't know about it. And if you find out you get a lot of problems, say, well, maybe because of something my parents do. And then you go say, Lord, I don't know what mama did or what dad did, but I rebuke those curses in the name of Jesus. I rebuke the curse they put on me. And God say, you got it. And you're in the spirit. All right, through generations, through the mind. The mind is one of the major battlefields of Satan, okay? If Satan controls your thoughts, he will eventually what? Control your actions. He will eventually control your actions. And the word also say, mental control eventually results in a lack of use of the will. So you got to be strong in the Lord. And then you get a reprobate mind, because when the Bible says, if you're going to bed with another man, and you're a woman, you go to bed with another woman, he say, that's a reprobate mind. and they doing that left and right around here now, man. I said, my God. And still, God's word still is for today. Reprobate mind. And they don't think there's nothing wrong with it. And every, in the last 8-9 months that I was helping out with Brother Emma, the Lord said, get John. I always send you out in pairs, not by yourself. You get John. And then he got me, and then he started telling me about deliverance ministry. And I go, this stuff is really real, because I didn't believe it. And I said, okay, man, I'll go to his house. And then he said, let's look at some studies about the demons and how they work. And I go, yeah, man, okay. And we sit there, and he would turn one of those videotapes on, and guess what? The TV that was, or the small TV that's sitting up on the table started moving. I said, Emma, that thing moving. And he'd run and catch it before it fall off. Sometimes we'd be watching the movie How to Fight Demons, learn about demons. The lights be going on and off. The refrigerator, the lights be going blinky, 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 blinky. I said, this stuff is really real. And then he had one guy, a friend of his, came to the house to sit next to him, you know. And he forgot to tell me, say, he came here to be delivered, John. He's 22 years old, and he does all kind of stuff like that. And he's here for deliverance. I said, oh, yeah, okay. So, yeah, right, mm-hmm. And he sat down next to me on the sofa while he was delivering another guy. Come out in the name of Jesus, and the demon started, you can, you know, all this kind of stuff. And that demon finally came out. But guess what? When that demon started fighting, and so the young man who was sitting next to me, he's about like 23. He had just got out of service. He knew Brother Emmons. He came for deliverance, you know. And the boy looked at me and said, wow, I said, that's something that's really real. Look at that guy there, man. That demon hollering through him. And then the young man looked at me and told me, Mr. John, I go, yeah. He said, then he looked at me and said, let's get out of here. You need to get out of here. I don't want to be excised. Get up. You got a car in it. Let's go, because my friend brought me over here. But you got a car. Let's get out of here. You know, that kind of thing. I said, oh, my God. And I said, Emmett. Emmett looked at me, heard the guy talking like that. He said, that's a demon, Brother John. So he had two of his other buddies to go over and hold that young man down for the demon. Make him run out of the house. All right. How demons gain control? Through your parents. Through your crookedness, and you're not right, it's playing like your church. Through the mind, remember I said they can mess with your mind because you're thinking and you think those are your thoughts? And I suggest to you from now on, when a thought comes into your mind, if you're not saying praise the Lord or whatever, but it say, screw him, screw her, beat the you know what out of him, steal somebody, take somebody, then you can say, I rebuke you, say in the name of Jesus. And you know, much as I know the Lord, now sometimes thoughts come to mind, I say, look at her, isn't she fine? And then I say, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And then the thought will go away. And sometimes you have to put up a fight. You know, like, I want to go with my buddies down in Savannah. But I know the wife needs some help, you know, with the children, stuff like that. And yeah, I got some friends who are really sick down there, a family member. I think it's my uncle. I got to go there because they think he might be dying, you know, something like that. And then all of a sudden, that thought say, what did you just say to your wife? I say, oh, my God. Hey, baby, I'll just tease you. Just feel and see if you want me to be home. You know, kind of thing. But say, you still lie. Then I go in my room and say, I repent in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You know, that kind of thing. So the devil, so you just think, if it caused you to lie or it caused you to impress, like what I get to mostly, I think, they call us. It's like last night, or the other night when I was going to teach. Do you know what? And I get about it. Every night we go to preach, go, watch what you say. I'm monitoring. They may call Emmett, and Emmett say, where's John? Oh, he's over there. Tell him, I'm monitoring. I got a thesis on that. I'm monitoring, and I got 2 doctor's degrees. I'm going to say, who the junk care? You know? But that's what they say. I say, that's number 5. Sometimes they give it a phone. I say, sir, I want you to watch it. I'm monitoring. I say, you know what? You full of pride. You know, the Bible say, pride come before a fall. You keep that crap up, man. You ain't going to have no church, no nothing. And guess what? And he talking about, you can't tell me. You can't preach to me. I got 2 doctor degrees. And then, guess what? Then the Lord will tell Brother Emmett, I'll come down here and ball jack you. God, don't. He said, no. He told me he'll come down here and screw me in my butt. And I said, Emmett say, I heard it. Emmett said, the Lord said, tell him that he's calling from the hotel so-and-so-and-so, and he got 2 queers in the bed with him. I said, sir, you in the hotel so-and-so-and-so. And you click. That's how it works. All right. Another one. The demons control us through generations. Through the mind, remember now, just because that stuff's in your mind, that don't necessarily mean you. That's the battlefield. Always remember that. That's the battlefield. Like you're going off the wall, I'm going to Germany, I'm going to Russia. You know, that mind is Russia and Germany, because that demon will make you think it's your thoughts. And how you know if you're being tempted by the devil? Well, you all are preaching pastors. You know what the word says, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. So if you get a thought that says, do this and do that, you say, And then when I get those stuff like that, because the devil will keep on trying to make you backslide. And every time I get a thought like that, I say, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And then the thought will go away. And then about 15 minutes later, I'm minding my own business. But, you know, so on. I said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get thee behind me, Satan, and boom. Another how demons gain control, I say, through generations. Yes, your mom and dad doing something. What you doing, something your children got messed up. Through the mind, got to remember, the mind is the battlefield. That's where the devil gets you to do everything. When them thoughts come to your head, it's either you or the devil talking. Remember that, either Holy Spirit talking to you, want to tell you to do something. But if it's something that you have some questions about, you're not... Just I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Through sinful actions, sinful thoughts assumed. Oh yeah, sinful thoughts assumed fulfilled by sinful actions. For example, the thought of adultery is fulfilled in the actual act of adultery. And so, in other words, when you start thinking, you can't stop thinking about it, and then eventually you go and commit that sin. You know, and as long as you're a Christian, that don't mean you can stop. Because many times I told the Lord, I can't stop. So I say, you know what? Why I'm thinking this and thinking that. That's foul, you know, kind of thing. And don't sit down that front and go, oh, I know what it is. I say, Satan, I ain't going back in them old trip. I ain't going to hell. You can go by yourself. I ain't going to hell. I'm going with Jesus. And that's my mama, my grandmama, and everybody else said, I ain't going to hell for you or nobody. Because hell is real. All right? How else demons gain control? Through desire. Some people ask Satan for demonic power. And, you know, I remember back in the day when I was in my teens and 20s, that's a lot of those movie stars and rock and roll singers and all that, they sold their soul to the devil so they can be popular and rich and everything else. Through desire, some people ask Satan for demonic power to enable them to perform supernatural acts. And that's true in some of these churches. And so you got to be careful about people doing magical stuff and everything else. You know, that's through satanic powers. How demons gain control? Here's another one. Through an empty house. What do you mean by through an empty house? Well, demons consider the body of the person they inhabit as their own house. Okay? Say, for example, you backslid or you never got saved, but you're doing all the worldly stuff. They say, well, a person who is delivered from demonic power does not fill his house with a new birth experience and then filling of the Holy Spirit, reentry may occur. In other words, say you were a gangster, say you were a whoremonger, say you were a thief, say you were a liar, say you were smoking dope and all this other kind of stuff. And say you got your buddy leading to the Lord, you know, and say, okay, I'm going to get saved. I accept you, Jesus, my Lord and Savior. And then a couple of days later, you start going back into that sin again kind of thing. Say, when a person who's delivered from demonic powers does not fill his house with new birth experience, and then feel like the Holy Spirit, reentry may occur. What that's saying is, once you accept Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, buddy, and when you're doing something, you better stop and go, Lord, I'm sorry, repent. Because that same thing will get control over you. Will get control over you, and you never have the Holy Spirit. But guess what? The Holy Spirit not dwell in an unclean house. You know, once your person accept Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and then that's when the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within that person. But if that pastor, that man, that woman, or that person, whatever, is running and screwing behind their spouse back off their bachelor single, and they're doing all the praise the Lord Sunday, but they're the hanky panky and screwing this woman, screwing that man, masturbating or whatever they may be doing, Holy Spirit say, hold up. You must be thinking I'm crazy, but I'm saying here, your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. I ain't hanging in here, and you. Behind you, even if you're a bachelor or you're behind your wife's back or your husband's back or whatever, I ain't going to hang around while you laying on top of that girl humping her or while you laying on that other man humping his butt or whatever. You think, I'm going to sit here. You must be crazy. And the Holy Spirit leaves. Then you really don't have any weaponry on you then, because when that temptation comes, yeah, bro, that was good, you know, kind of thing. But I must warn you, once you sin a couple of times, the Holy Spirit going to leave, because the Bible says, when you accept Christ your personal Lord and Savior, then that's only when the Holy Spirit, because God has forgiven you all your sins. It's like you're a clean whistle, and the Holy Spirit come and take up residence. And you know the Bible says we are dwelled by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. So if you're riding hanky-panky behind your somebody's back, or you're single and you're just doing it because you love that kind of a sin or whatever it is, guess what? Spirit gone, Holy Spirit gone. The Holy Spirit told me to tell you guys that. because he said he's going to stay in a house, in a tabernacle. Our body is a tabernacle of the Holy Spirit. And then he got, praise the Lord, you know, got to come. I'm coming there, get your, beat your butt, so. Praise the Lord. And then when they find out they get trapped and they come down here and the gangs surround them, come from behind the bush and everything, and say, oh, my God, where all them guys come from? He said, you think we going to let y'all come down here and screw us or beat the hell out of us or whatever y'all want to do to us? I said, God told us y'all coming. When you called me and told me you were 2 hours from here, guess what the Lord told me? What the Lord told you? He said, y'all were just 30 minutes from here. Y'all thought y'all have us thinking, well, we can relax. You still got 2 hour drive coming from Alabama, Tennessee. But God would always tell Brother Emmons, say, he's lying. He's 30 minutes from here. And then Brother Emmons say, John, that's what? He said, they're 30 minutes from here. I said, the Lord told you? Mm-hmm. That's how it works every time. Just think of me now. I'm going to do this to you. I'm saying, you can't do nothing to me. Not just shut up. You don't tell me to shut up, nigga. So. I said, okay. If I was you, I'd turn around and go back. I ain't going back and scared of no nigga. And so. They come here. And when they get out there, come on out of that house. You niggas, come on out. And then all of a sudden, the door opens. 5, 6, 7 gangsters come walking out there. Can we help you, please? Who are y'all? Said, we, Brother John and Brother Emmett's guardians. Oh, my God. Boy, he turned around running in the van and bust the hell out of there. But God always tells us when they come. And they try to trick us, you know. We got about 5 more hours. And the Holy Spirit said, Brother Emmett. And then, because God's teaching me to hear his voice. See, because Emmett, like I said, when I led him to the Lord, he got saved. And that boy was reading that Bible for 5, 6, 7 hours a day, nonstop, for the last 14, 15 years. And God always tells him. God tells him where to go. When something happened, God said, get this. If you lose something in the house, God says, all you got to do is ask God. God tell him. Sometimes I'll tell him, oh, man, please. He said, well, think of something, John. I think of something. He said, Lord just told you so. I said, you know that. And there's one thing God told me that I'll never forget. He had told me, and I know it's true. He said, John, he told me this about 7 years ago. You know what the Lord told me? I said, what? He said, you ain't going to die until you're 97. I go, what? And I go, well, you know what the word says. You're supposed to get 3 confirmations when you believe what somebody's saying, because somebody might be a nutcase. Tell me, this going to happen to you, and you need to become a teacher. You need. So I said, Lord, I give that to you. And sure enough, about a couple of weeks later, we was talking like I am now teaching, and one minister said, Brother Emmett, I want to speak to Brother John just for a second, please, before you hang up. I said, hey, Brother John, you don't know me, but I'm Pastor so-and-so from California. He said, you know what, I know you think I'm crazy, but the Lord told me you ain't going to die until you're 97. Almost blew my mind, because they asked God for 3 confirmations. I said, well, that's the first one. And sure enough, we're doing like I'm talking tonight, somebody pop in and go, Brother John, the Lord told me that you are going to live till you're 97. And then out of the blue, just about 3 weeks ago, Emmett was just jabbing and talking with each other and everything else. And he said, huh, what? And then I said, what? He said, shh. The Lord talking to me. He said, John, guess what? The Lord just told me you ain't going to die until you're 97. I said, Lord, have mercy. That's the triple one. So I got 3 confirmations. He said, and here I am. I just turned 80. Ain't nothing wrong with me. I am not one thing wrong with me, period. My body, my heart, my blood vessels, everything is at the age of somebody 30 years old. I've never been in a hospital. I've never been sick. I had a headache every now and then. I had a broken hand this one time. I played football in high school, but I never had any sickness. I never had any medication. Every time I answer those questions, when I go for my examination, might be 40 questions. Have you had this? And I'd be going, no. I have 40 no's. God look at me and say, oh, you must be crazy, man. You 70. Next time, you 72. Next time, you 75. Next time. And they give me a full, complete examination, and they can't find nothing wrong. I said, Lord, there's something you want me to do. I can see now, y'all. I'm 80 years old, and look what he got me doing, talking about deliverance ministry. And from the time I was 1 to the time I was 50, I ain't never heard nothing about no demons, that kind of a thing, and look what I'm teaching. All right, how demons gain control? Oh, I'm doing good. I still got about like 10 more minutes. How demons gain control? Through desire. Some people ask Satan, I said that. The house, through an empty house is when you accept Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, and then you get saved, and that's when the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within you. Because your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. But the moment you go in there and start humping some woman, some man, a line, or setting somebody up, or whatever it is, or you say, I'm getting out of here. And then come, pay the Lord. You know, and these guys come and say the same thing. I say, I'm going to come and do so. And then when they get caught by the gangsters, and gangsters come and help us out, they come, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. I say, man, your prayer ain't going nowhere. You came down here to threaten me, Brother Emmett, and everybody else, and these guys are scared to deal like so. They're going to kill y'all. Huh? What? your throat. They're going to take your back out there in the woods and cut your throat. Oh, my God. And we tricked some of them. I said, you know what? You shouldn't be talking to me like that. And tell me you're going to hold my left leg down while those guys get on top of me. Guess what? I'm going to cut your left leg off. You go, oh, no, it ain't so and so. See, me and Brother Emmett and the guys know what we're going to do. I'm going to, you can't fake nobody. You're a preacher. You don't cut nobody's leg off. I said, you don't want to come down here and try to rape me. You heard I'm going to get you and brother. They come down here, and when they come out, 10, 12 guys come out of M's house. They're all gangsters. They love us. You know, they protect us. And so they surround them. They go, oh, God. And then we drag them in the backyard. And then I say, all right, let's cut his leg off. Mr. John, you're supposed to be a chaplain. What the hell are you talking about? Cut our leg off. I said, start it, big dog. And he crank up the machine. And they go, oh, and they faint, cry, scream, and everything else. And we walk out and say, on the count of 14, cut it off. And they go, one,
all
two,
right,
three, four,
Chapter
30.
We got
yeah.
3 minutes, 3 minutes, 3 minutes, 3 minutes,
okay,
3 minutes.
Okay, thank you, thank you, thank you. So I'm coming to the close on this one. So it's an empty house. That's when you don't have the Holy Spirit in you anymore. And then they can oppress you, they can possess you, and they can do all kinds of other things they want you. So next time when I go up, I'm going to tell you about how demons gain access into you. And also I'm going to tell you about how the guidelines for dealing with demons, how we deal with demons. Okay? That's what we do. And then I'll sum it up by saying the ministry of deliverance and what it includes. Okay? God bless you, and may you have a good evening. Over and out. I'm through, brother. I'm at a few
okay.
Seconds. Hear me.
Okay, tomorrow we're going to be back in on Life's Problems. I have a pre-recorded broadcast. We are streaming live from Atlanta, Georgia, and also by Kingston, Jamaica. And I'm now a resident of Mandeville, Jamaica, Manchester. I want to thank all of my Jamaican brothers and sisters over here who have supported me. I want to thank Pastor Earl, Sister Deborah, Sister Larkin, and all of the members of Live Deliverance Internet Radio. I want to thank also Apostle Candace Durden, Assistant Pastor, Pastor Steve Lee, Sister Deborah Marshall, consultant of Live Deliverance from John Eckhart Ministries. She's been our consultant for the past 14 years, and we've been on air for 14 years. We constantly promote Derek Prince. We don't have a lot of new, fresh pastors that we consider, such as T.D. Jakes. We don't put that on here. Joel Osteen, we do not put that type of teaching. Creflo Dollar, Kenneth Hagin, that's a faith teaching that's totally against Scripture. The Word says seek not to become rich. We're going to be dealing with those topics also coming up in the future. Also, Apostle Candace Durden is going to be bringing a teaching in the next 2 weeks. It'll be a pre-recorded live broadcast. And let's open up the lines. Error code 256. Good evening. And how are you doing? Error code 256. Error code 256. Mm-hmm. Good evening.
Hello.
Sasha.
Uh huh.
How you doing?
Good.
You need some deliverance?
Maybe not at the moment.
Okay. We'll see you Friday.
Okay, thank you.
All right, this is Sister Asha, one of our church members, and she's a blessing to us. She's been with us for many years. Again, we're going to be in tomorrow on life's problems. Sister Asha, come in tomorrow on life's, the problems of life and how to handle that, okay?
Okay.
Okay. That's it for us. We do have some new music from Kelvin Downswell. And we thank him for sending us new music. And it's been a blessing to be here in Jamaica, where I have contacts here more than I have in the United States. Again, we want to thank you for participating with us here at Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries. And we're about to close our broadcast. God bless and shalom.